Welcome to the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Meet 'em, greet 'em, treat 'em, and street 'em. Today's date is July 23rd, 2015, and I am your skeptical host, Ken Milne. The Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine is a knowledge translation project with a goal of cutting that KT window down from over 10 years to less than 1 year. During the summer months, SGEMers will receive extra content. These are part of the SGEM Extra series. But don't panic. The standard, high-quality, clinically relevant, evidence-based, critical reviews of the recent literature will return in the fall. Until then, I hope you enjoy this SGEM Extra. The Canadian Association of Emergency Physicians, or CAPE, meeting was held in Edmonton earlier this year. The theme of the conference was Lighting the Way. There was a free Open Access to Medical Education, or FOMED, track with four amazing speakers. One of those speakers was Eve Purdy, or as I should call her now, Dr. Eve Purdy. Eve is a PGY1 in emergency medicine at Queen's University. She has a keen interest in medical education. She has experience consuming, sharing, creating, and researching foam as the founder and editor of her blog, Menu A Corday, a student editor at Boring EM, and the lead author on a national survey of the use of open access resources by Canadian emergency medicine residents. Eve is fascinated by the concept of personal learning environments and will continue exploring on how social networks influence what we know. The title of Eve's presentation at CAPE was You Don't Know What You Got Till It's Gone. Here is the description of this talk. Medical learners frequently use open access resources to find information at the point of care. Her talk will explore how a simple education intervention, ditching the smartphone, might help learners and their teachers reflect on the impact of such resources and discover how going smartphone-free can serve as a powerful jumping-off point for teaching and learning in the emergency department. You can watch Eve give her talk on the YouTube video that's attached to the blog and download a copy of her slide presentation. Now, the audio quality isn't up to the standard of what the SGEMers expect, because this was recorded live at the CAPE conference. But bear with us, because the content is fantastic. So here she is, rising superstar in the FOMED world, Dr. Eve Purdy. You don't know what you got till it's gone.
So just while I'm opening up my talk here, I want to mention and say thank you to people like Ilya who are creating resources like this, because I've grown up as a medical student where this type of information and this type of access to information is the norm. But it's only the norm because they're taking time to create those resources. So, thanks. So I'm going to change gears a little bit and speak mostly about point-of-care resources, actually. You can ask me questions anytime now or later on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at Purdy_Eve. I don't have any financial conflicts of interest, but I think in the context of this presentation, it is important to note that I am affiliated with a number of blogs and online projects, which may bias me in some ways, but I'll try to mitigate that. I have a number of objectives today, mostly related to making you aware of some point of care resources, but more importantly, I want us as a group to reflect a bit on how we and how learners use resources at the point of care. I'll introduce you to kind of a neat educational intervention that I was exposed to as a medical student. So I'm not sure how many of you have seen this curve before. It represents the number of open access medical education resources in the past decade. And you can see that there's been an exponential growth of these resources. This curve represents blogs and podcasts as well as websites. But it really demonstrates fairly significant and profound growth of open and freely available learning resources for students. I've done some research on how Canadian emergency medicine residents are using open access resources, and basically we can say that it's ubiquitous. Over 90% of residents are using podcasts, many are using medical blogs, and many are actually turning to video resources as well. So this is something that is common amongst emergency medicine residents and learners. And it really ends up creating kind of an interesting learning network for us. So this is an example of how I learned about EKGs. So you can see that there are some in-person people who had taught me lots about EKGs, preceptors, peers. We even have some lecture notes. But there's also this online network of blogs and apps and different resources that I've used to learn about EKGs. But interestingly, there's actually very little evidence available on how learners are using resources at the point of care for just-in-time learning. So we haven't really studied how learners are learning in the department about specific patients or answering clinical questions at the point of care. We do know that there was a study done at the University of Toronto that showed that staff physicians, residents, and medical students are using a smartphone at least daily, over 85% of these groups. And I would argue that for the medical students and residents, it is probably approaching 100%. I think it was probably the staff group that might have been bringing down that number. But we also know that 64% of the time spent on smartphones by medical students and residents is spent searching for information. But we don't know where they're finding that information, how they're learning. We know that there are apps. There's all sorts of apps. Some are free, some are close to free, and some are subscription-based and can be quite costly. But schools are really struggling to understand how these resources are affecting education. There's little data about the benefits and drawbacks of app use and how they impact efficiency. So as a medical student, I recognized that I was using these resources at the point of care with very little guidance and very little kind of understanding of the implications. And so I actually met Nadim Lalani. He's a emerge doc at the University of Saskatchewan and assistant program director there. And I approached him about doing an elective that would be clinical emergency medicine, but also have a focus on point of care resource use. And luckily, he's always keen to help learners in unique educational opportunities. So we designed a curriculum and we crowdsourced it on social media, actually got feedback from many people in this room and from around the world. And I did a three-week elective that was a full complement of clinical shifts, but also each week had a different component of evaluating my resource use. And one of the big components of that was keeping a logbook of patients I saw, resources that I accessed at the point of care, and the type of information that I was getting from those resources. Now, obviously, that kind of study activity is a bit biased. There's recall bias associated, and there's also the Hawthorne effect of knowing that I was tracking what resources I was using. But before I share the data from my experience with that, I'd love for everybody to look at the person next to them or grab a partner if you're not sitting next to anybody. Pull out your smartphone and pick one or two of your favorite apps that you use in the department, and share with each other, because there are so many apps that we're all using different ones. So take a minute and share with a partner which apps you're using. All right, so we could probably do this all day. And in fact, I would encourage you to continue this discussion once the talk is over and once you get back in the department with your colleagues and learners. But if I could just get a few audience shout-outs about favorite apps.
Evernote.
Evernote, nice. Do you share Evernote? Like, do you have shared files in Evernote?
Yep.
Cool. Other favorite apps?
MedCalc.
MedCalc, nice. Evernote, MedCalc, excellent.
Feedly.
Which one?
Feedly.
Feedly, nice. Do you use that at the point of care? Do you use that?
No, never.
Okay.
Mostly on break.
More, yeah. Feedly's awesome. So, I kept this logbook and then I took a look at the resources that I was using. As it turns out, I was using my smartphone and a point of care resource for over 50% of the patients that I was seeing in the emergency department. So this is pretty common. As a learner, I'm turning to these resources very often, every shift that I work. I'll highlight a few of the resources up there in a second, but I wanted to point out that UpToDate is here. I won't talk about UpToDate. I use it only in about 10% of the patients that I saw, and I have since kind of stopped using my subscription to UpToDate because I found that I was getting enough information freely from these other sources. So I'll quickly run through a few of the resources that as a medical student I used at the point of care. One is Diagnosis Source, which is basically an app that helps you bolster your differential diagnosis. And the way that I used this was I would see a patient, I would come up with my differential diagnosis, and then I'd often kind of check to see if I missed something big. I think that I actually could see a progression of using this a bit less as I rotated through emergency medicine rotations, but certainly when I did this elective at the beginning, towards the beginning of clerkship, I used it very frequently. An app that I use all of the time is PalmEM. I have to say, this is not a free app, it's a close to free app, so it's a bit outside of the scope of this room, but it for me was a great resource. It's kind of a catch-all emergency medicine app. It has information about diagnosis of a bunch of conditions. It has information about treatment, medication doses. It has a couple of built-in calculators, clinical decision rules. And then it just has a couple of neat things like a Snellen chart and a ruler and things that I would use fairly frequently at the point of care. And then the drug app that I use most often during this rotation was Epocrates. There's a lot of apps available for drug information. This happened to be the one that I used. And then the other category really boiled down to websites. So open access websites like Life in the Fast Lane and Academic Life in Emergency Medicine were certainly the ones that I used most often. What I think is important to note about these open access resources is that there's easy ways to find them. So if you just Google a clinical question, you'll get a whole myriad of sites that aren't necessarily medical or aren't necessarily open access. You'll get taken to a paid site. But there are a few really great ways to access this information efficiently. So one app, it's kind of a catch-all app for these resources, is called AgileMD. And it allows you to search through a number of open access resources quickly, and it actually doesn't even require Wi-Fi. And so if, like, your hospital has bad Wi-Fi, this is a great bet. Another fantastic resource, or search engine, I guess, is Foam Search. This is basically a specific Google search engine for foam, and so you can type in anything and it'll pull up all of the open access resources available. So if you're searching for foam and you need to find it quickly, these two apps are great. I mean, these two resources are great. So just when I was getting comfortable, it was about 2 weeks into my elective and I was getting used to tracking my point of care resources and I was talking with Nadim a lot about them, he threw a wrench in my experience. But before we get to that, I thought we'd play a little game of who said it, Nadim or Yoda. And so I'm gonna put up a quote and I want you to tell me whether Nadim said it or whether Yoda said it. You must unlearn what you have learned.
Yoda.
Patience, you must have my young Padawan.
Both.
Already know you that which you need.
Yoda.
Yeah, the grammar gives that away for sure. Always pass on what you've learned. And train yourself to let go of everything you fear to lose.
Buddha.
So interestingly, Yoda did say all these things, but Nadim also said all these things at one point in my life experience. But I think this last one, train yourself to let go of everything you fear to lose, is why he came up with this next intervention. So he decided that I was feeling good, I was keeping track of my resources. So he actually decided that I should work a shift without a smartphone and without access to the internet. Which at first was a bit stressful. When I was a kid, I was really active and broke lots of limbs. And really what this felt like was a limb being broken or something that I'm so used to having a function of being taken away. And I didn't realize that until it was. So it kind of felt like when I dislocated my shoulder or when I broke my leg or when I broke my arm or when I broke my leg again. So I had a fair bit of experience with important limbs and appendages being taken away. And this is the kind of visceral reaction that I had. But after I kind of got finished being angry with Nadim, which took about 15 minutes, I realized that this actually was an important learning experience. And for both Nadim and I, it opened up our eyes to a few things that I really didn't know, but because of my access to these resources so quickly and so easily, it seemed like I knew them. And as a learner, it's easy to kind of skim over and not recognize what you need to go home and really sit down and learn if you have access to resources at the point of care that are making you get questions right that your staff is asking you or that residents are asking you. And so I'll go through a few examples of that. One actually comes back to EKGs. I had this nice 13-step process for reading EKGs, but that was on my smartphone. And every time I saw an EKG, I'd go through my nice 13-step algorithm and I'd come out with what it was. But I didn't really have this process ingrained as a part of who I am. So when I didn't put an EKG in front of me and I didn't have access to my nice little step process for reading an EKG, I struggled, and it became very obvious to him and I. We both kind of laughed, actually, and he didn't even need to say, this needs to be something you need to get better at. I just went home and you saw the learning network earlier. That was a product of recognizing that I needed help to read EKGs. The second piece that came up was it became pretty obvious that I didn't have a great foundation in antibiotics, not specific antibiotics for a condition, but really just a baseline understanding of antibiotics and infectious disease. I didn't have a groundwork to have any type of intelligible discussion around antibiotics that shift. So that came out as another learning point. So do I think that every learner needs to have a shift without a smartphone or without access to the internet? I don't. I think that's probably a bit dramatic, and I don't think that it's probably feasible in every department. It worked for us that day because it was a slower day in the department and I could bother Nadim with all of the questions that inevitably came up. But I do think that it serves as an important kind of jumping off point for both learners and staff to just question where information is coming from on a shift. And also to be mindful of the resources that we're using and how we're choosing resources. There's not much by way of quality indicators for apps developed now. The only group that has done some work on this is actually in obstetrics and gynecology. There's a fairly robust paper around quality indicators for pregnancy wheels. Surprisingly, a lot of the pregnancy wheel apps just don't work. Like they aren't proper pregnancy wheels, and you misdate pregnancies. And so the group has gone through and come up with quality indicators for pregnancy wheel apps. And it made me think that this is a discussion that we need to be having as a group. The apps that I spoke about earlier, my gestalt is that they're good and they've answered clinical questions correctly. But beyond that, there's not a lot. So I would encourage you each, when you go home, the next shift you work, take a look at your phone and think about which point of care resource you're using, ask your learners what they're using, and start a discussion around it. I think there is some very exciting prospects for research in this field. Ideally, I would love to create a program that can track app usage in real time and see what apps learners are using, how long they're on them, and the type of information they're getting from them. Unfortunately, Android and Apple and the smartphone companies don't allow that. I think it's a privacy issue or something. I think that there's also an opportunity to objectively see some growth and development in learners. So I kept track of this information in an early elective in clerkship, but I also tracked it again later in clerkship. And there was a difference in the apps that I was using. Early on, I was using the differential diagnosis apps, and later on, I was using some more management-based apps. And that is an objective measure of the type of information that I'm gathering as a learner and where I'm at in my process. So I'm excited about where we're going with apps. There are so many that it's a bit overwhelming, but I think that together as a community, we can help each other and really find and use the best resources. I have created a number of blog posts related to point of care resource use for medical students. And as Aaliyah pointed out, learners need different things at different times. So the list that I've come up with may not be useful to this group in the audience. You may be needing something completely different than I needed. You could pass it along to medical students that you're working with, and it's on my blog, Manu at Cordae, and it's specifically related to the emergency department, but I have a whole series for different rotations during clerkship. So I'll leave you with this quote from Yoda, again, train yourself to let go of everything you fear to lose. And I think that represents my experience well with apps, and it's something that I'm gonna be thinking about moving forward. Be happy to take questions while we listen to Joni Mitchell. That's it. Thanks.
And there you go, Dr. Eve Purdy giving her FOMED talk at the CAPE meeting in Edmonton. You don't know what you got till it's gone. And that's the second of four talks I'll be posting as part of the SGEM Extra series this summer. Now, during the summer, I do have a request for the SGEMers out there. It takes about 8 hours a week to put this show together. And that includes selecting the article, doing a structured critical review, arranging and recording with some fabulous guest skeptics, editing the audio, and writing a blog entry. Now, I love doing it, and I look forward to doing every episode. However, as part of this social contract, I would ask you to help me spread the SGEM foaminess around the world. So if you could like the SGEM on Facebook and follow the SGEM on Twitter, that would be great. It only takes a few seconds and a couple of mouse clicks. Now also, if you have time, maybe take a couple of minutes and go over to iTunes and give the SGEM a rating. What rating should it be? I know. How about my favorite number? 5. I would really appreciate any additional feedback you have. The SGEM has improved each year because of the engagement of the SGEM audience. One of the new features just launched on the SGEM is the SGEM Hot or Not. And this is your opportunity to rate or vote for the articles that we will put our skeptical eyes upon. So every Friday, watch for the tweet, go to the Facebook page, or check out the blog, because we will be putting under the Hot or Not section 5 new articles for you to rate on a 7-point Likert scale. you also have the opportunity to submit an article that you would like us to consider for season number 4 of the SGEM. I know it's still the lazy days of summer, but if you're one of these people that plan ahead, there is a conference in Niagara Falls September 10th and 11th. It's part of the Beam Group series. We're calling this one Falls View Beam. So go over to www.beemcme.com and sign up for Falls View Beam, Niagara Falls, September 10th and 11th. Beam considers itself the most relevant, reliable, and unbiased continuing medical education for emergency medicine practitioners. Well, that's it for this week. I hope you're enjoying your summer. And until next time, remember to be skeptical of anything you learn, even if you heard it on the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine.